Well, good morning. It's good to have your company again today, and thank you for the opportunity to share with you some thoughts from the Word of God. I hope that we can learn together and hear what God has to say to us today. One of the advantages of the lockdown period is that you can, as it were, sneak into the back of someone's online service without them even knowing you're there. And I've been dipping in and out every now and again to see how things are going at Penrallt. And I've noted that John, our new pastor, has been working through a sermon series on listening to God. And I've learnt a lot from listening to those. They've been very, very useful. And I'd recommend that anybody who's missed any should go back and listen again to some of them. Listening to God, it's an idea, isn't it, that we're familiar with. But as John acknowledged in one of his earlier sermons, it's sometimes difficult to know how to do that in practice. And one of the reasons it may prove difficult for us is that we're a bit cautious, we're a bit scared. You know, we may have had some experience in the past of someone saying they've been led by God to do something, and maybe they end up doing something that's, to us at least, seems a little strange. So we steer away, and we back away. But we've got to be careful. We can't just depend on our own minds, on our own understanding, because we're limited. And we have to remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a supernatural gospel. God broke into the world in a supernatural way. Jesus performed amazing supernatural things. He invades our lives to transform us and change us in a supernatural way. Now, I hope that this morning's message will fit in with this series on listening to God as we look at the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, the work of the Spirit in our lives is very, very broad. We know that Jesus promises us abundant life in John chapter 10, verse 10. And he also says, describing us, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And we know that we can't produce this living water ourselves. That life has to come to us through the work of the Spirit, increasing our praise and obedience and making our testimony more effective. A life that is full of God in his Spirit has been bought for us by Jesus on the cross. And the Spirit is at work in us now. Sometimes we have a tendency to look back and think, oh yeah, the Spirit was at work in my life then. And maybe we look forward and think, well, someday the Spirit will achieve this in me. Well, yes, the Spirit has been at work in us in the past if we've come to know Jesus. And there is a promise that he will continue to work, but he works now. And we mustn't think of the work of the Spirit as something separate to that of Jesus. The two persons that are part of the Trinity. The Spirit releases us and transforms us into a full and victorious life, a life that's honest and victorious. The Spirit promises us assurance that's given to us in the Word and in the heart and in the soul. And we read of the Spirit giving gifts, and we must remember that these gifts are given for the benefit of all. And the purpose of giving the gifts is to see the body of the Messiah, the church, built up. And in doing that, in working in his people, he can do so much. Ephesians 3:20 reminds us that we can do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Now then, let's pause there for a moment and listen to a reading from God's Word from Galatians chapter 5.
Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
So we've heard God's word there about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Very, very precious words that we need to think about. We talk often and think a lot about the life in the Spirit, the life of the Christian, the life in the Spirit. And there are different aspects to that, but what does it look like? Now, there are several pictures and themes in the Bible to explain this, but I just want to draw attention to four of them. We can look at them, you can look at them in your own time and discuss them with John and others within the church. Three of them we already touched on in the reading that we just heard. We know of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-26. We heard in the reading now, Galatians 5:16, mention of walking in the Spirit. And it describes the work of the Spirit and living in the Spirit as being part of our daily routine. It's part of what we are, it's part of what we do. Then in Ephesians, in chapter 5, in verse 18, there's talk about being full of the Spirit. But I want to look today a bit more at verse 18 in Galatians 5, about being led by the Spirit. And we're going to do that today by looking at three things. Firstly, our need to be led, our need for guidance. Secondly, how we are to be led. And thirdly, what are the results of being led? So those three points. Firstly, our need for guidance, our need to be led. I've already referred to the fact about when we come to faith, we're aware of the reality of the change that happens in our hearts when we are reborn in the Spirit and we come to know Jesus when we come to faith. But we're also very, very aware about the reality of a battle in our lives. We're aware that it's not plain sailing from when we come to believe. And one of the most difficult areas is guidance. Sometimes we're tempted to turn back, to go back. And many of us have experienced that. But what does going back mean? Well, it can mean some of the obvious things that Galatians 5 talks of. Do you remember that list? Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. Very, very obvious and public things. But sometimes when we drift away or go back, they're not necessarily as obvious or public. I'm reminded of the message to the church at Laodicea. Because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Very stern warning about losing that passion, losing that closeness in our relationship with the Lord. And sometimes we're tempted to do that. But that, what has that battle got to do with guidance and life in the Spirit and leading of the Spirit? And the answer is that we do have the capacity to justify wrong things, to justify what we want to do. That's alive and well in all of us. We can make unwise decisions that could be an obstacle to God's blessing. If we doubt that at all, we only have to look to two places. We have to look at the centuries of foolish and unwise decisions made by God's people over the years. They and us were not always a great advert for the gospel. And the second place we have to look is at ourselves. It's not something that's a problem for other people and not for us. I'm very, very familiar. I'm too familiar with my capacity, yes, to stumble, yes, to do stupid things, but then to compound that by justifying them, justifying wrong things. So the idea of guidance by the Spirit is very attractive. To have someone who is wiser than me, who is always with me to guide me, is very attractive. But how does that happen? How does that work? That's what we'll look at in the next section now. So how does the Holy Spirit lead? I do refer you back to some of John's excellent messages on this from June onwards. Now, when we think of the Holy Spirit leading, we tend to look for something obviously supernatural, that seems supernatural. But that isn't necessarily the case. Think about what Jesus said about the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember in John 14:26, he says this, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So the work of the Holy Spirit includes reminding us about Jesus' teaching. All that I have said to you, bringing it to your remembrance. The work of the Spirit is to be with us in a way that Jesus isn't with us now, because Jesus is in heaven. But the Spirit is here to help and guide us. Listen to Paul's words in Romans 8:26-27. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." So how does he lead? Well, firstly, he leads like Jesus leads. He leads carefully. He leads gently and for our benefit. He knows our making. He knows what we're made of. He knows all we can cope with. And he leads us sensitively in the light of that. In terms of the mechanics of how the leading comes, then we must talk about three things. We must talk about the Word of God, we must talk about prayer, and we must talk about signs and visions and so on. Firstly, the Word of God. Let's not minimize this. This is the main way in which the Holy Spirit leads us. It has a key role in leading us in the truth. And how many of us have experience of being led simply by listening to the Word of God? Where God, through the Spirit, is reminding us and pressing some truth on our hearts. That's very, very important. The second way is prayer. Prayer creeps us close to him. If we're close to him, we're more likely to hear his prompting. We're more likely to hear his voice. I don't know if I'm betraying my age now, but I grew up listening mostly to analog radio rather than digital. I have a digital radio in the car now, and one of the annoying things about digital radio is that it's either brilliant or it's off. Well, I sometimes think that prayer is more like listening to analog radio. Sometimes there's a bit of interference, there's a bit of noise, and you can't quite hear what's going on, and then a signal comes through. Well, sometimes we create noise and the world creates noise around us. And sometimes it's difficult to come close to God and to hear clearly what he wants to tell us, but prayer enables us to do that. And thirdly, there's the more supernatural stuff. There's signs, there are visions, there are dreams. And John dealt brilliantly with these in one of his earlier messages. They're more dramatic but less frequent. God, in his Spirit, can nudge us and prompt us through these things. But we have to test this every time against what the Word says. We have to test this in prayer and in discussion with other Christians that we know we can trust. In one of the earlier messages, John talked about authenticating these things, testing them out. Now, some time ago, I picked up this list of questions that we can ask ourselves to test or authenticate things that we think we're being guided to do. I'll just share those with you. I've no idea where they came from, but I think they're quite good. First question is, if I'm being led to do something, the first question is, has God said something clear about this in the Bible? And very, very simply, if I feel that I'm being led to do something and the Bible says clearly that it's wrong, then that guidance is inappropriate and we shouldn't listen to it. The second one is, would it worry me if everyone knew what my decision is? Some decisions, they seem very personal. But what if everyone knew what my decision was? How would it affect me if everyone followed my example? If I'm being led to do a certain thing, then I should ask myself, what if everyone did the same? Would that build up the body of Christ? I have to ask myself, am I being led by the Spirit or am I following the voices of people? Maybe influential people, but people nevertheless, who may not be leading us the way that God wants us to go. Next, if I think I'm being led to do a certain thing, could that thing cause someone else to stumble? And the Bible is very clear on that. We shouldn't do anything that causes a brother or sister to stumble. Next, how much have I prayed about this? And have I found peace about it? I turned to God and asked him for certainty about the guidance that I believe maybe he's giving me. Is this thing that I'm considering going to help me grow in Christ? Is it going to make me more Christ-like? And is what I'm considering glorifying to God? And that leads us to the final point. The results of the Holy Spirit's leading. And the Bible is wonderful here because it describes the life of the Christian being led by the Spirit. If we're led by the Spirit, then Galatians 5:1 tells us that we are free morally and spiritually. If we're being led by the Spirit, as Galatians 5:24, as we read earlier, tells us, we will hate evil and the works of the flesh. If we're led by the Spirit, we love to hear God's voice. We love God's word. And Psalm 119 portrays that in a very, very beautiful way. If we're led by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will be clear in our lives. If we're led by the Spirit, we will be confident coming into the presence of God. Not confident in ourselves, but confident because we know the love and the grace and the compassion of God. Hebrews 4:14 to 16 teaches us that. If we're led by the Spirit, then we have the assurance of the Spirit in us, as Romans 8:16 tells us. If we're led by the Spirit, our witness will impact people's lives. It will be strong and effective, as Acts 1 verse 8 shows us. If we're led by the Spirit, we will live lives that glorify God, as 1 Peter 4 verse 11 tells us. So in summary, the guidance of the Spirit is valuable. It's crucial to each one of us as Christians. We need that guidance because of our capacity to stumble and fail and our capacity to justify what we've done. We've learned how we experience that. We experience that by listening to the word, by praying, by having signs and dreams and visions, but testing them. And the results of being led are wonderful, because the result of being led is living the full life that Jesus has promised us. And one last observation. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. We're not generating this ourselves. He is doing the leading. It is His role. Our role is to put ourselves in His hands and asking Him to fill us and lead us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to us. We thank you for the work that the Holy Spirit has already done in our hearts. We ask that you will fill us with the Spirit now, that you will fill our lives, that you will make us the people that you want us to be, and that we will be open to your leading and obedient and loving in our service. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.